Columbus.
From the Ohio News Network, this is Ohio Sports Magazine. Now, here's your host, Jay Fox.
Welcome to another episode of Ohio Sports Magazine. I'm your host, Jay Fox, and with the All-Star Game behind us, the Cleveland Guardians are in their final push of the season to win another Central Division title. Guards Vice President of Public Relations, Bob DiBiasio, joins us to break down pitching, defense, and batting. Tyler Danberg from our flagship station, 97.1 FM, The Fan, WBNS in Columbus, debates the pros and cons with me of LeBron James potentially coming back to the Cleveland Cavaliers for a third time. All that plus our Locked On contributors have all the balls next up on the Ohio News Network. The Cleveland Guardians went into the All-Star break with a record of 51 wins and 46 losses, tied for first place with the Chicago White Sox. Now, that's a far cry from being 46 and 49 where they were last year at this time. Known for being a second half of the season powerhouse, the Guards are in a dogfight with the White Sox and the Minnesota Twins, but we can't count out the Detroit Tigers either. Guards VP Bob DiBiasio joins us to talk about what to expect in the second half of the season as the chase ensues for another division title and a very deep playoff run. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Jay. A little fun in Miami this past weekend. Head into the All-Star break feeling good.
Absolutely. Cleveland has the eighth-ranked pitching staff in the league. And what's funny to me is the pitcher with the worst ERA in the team is catcher Austin Hedges. but no starter in the rotation has an ERA over 4.55. The question is, barring injury, is that the current starting five for the remainder of the season?
Well, we haven't had an injury to a starter all year long. We're the only team in baseball that can boast that claim. I think we've been built on pitching for a good 15 plus years or more. We always fortify our bullpen every off season, so that's the strength of this team. And I think fingers crossed. This is the group that will carry us forward. And, you know, as we sit here today, Jay, we're five games over 500. We're at 51 wins. There's only two teams in the American League that have more wins than us, the Yankees and Tampa Bay. With the injuries we have, some inconsistencies that we've shown, I think our guys have put themselves in a real good place for the remainder of 2.5 months of baseball remaining.
You talk about fortifying the bullpen every year. When you think about non-closing relievers, so we're not going to talk about Cade Smith right now, who stands out in the bullpen this year in your mind? Who are our breakouts?
Well, I'll tell you one thing, this Franco Alemán pitched this weekend in Miami. You know, he's only been up a brief period, but just another one of those guys like Cade Smith and others, you know, 6'6", 230, 240, just big, strong flamethrowers that you just marvel at that we can find and have a number of them. Hunter Gaddis is finding his way. You know, he had injury in spring training, set him back, and I think he has finally found his way. But then you have, you know, guys like Colin Holderman, and you get Cody Hiller and that group. We get Eric Zabrowski back to being who he can be early in the year before he was injured. Really is going to add something special to this team as we move forward. But Franco Alemán, I think he's the one that makes you smile.
Cade Smith leads the league with 28 saves. Given that he was not who we thought was going to be the closer just a short while ago, was this expected for him to lead the league?
Well, I don't know about leading the league, but I do know about being an incredibly efficient closer in what I believe to be the most difficult job in all of professional sports, and that is to close out a baseball game. Cade took over at the end of July when certain pitcher did some sinful activity and just fell right in. I mean, last September he was, you know, unbelievable when we made our run. You know, it was postseason baseball for us that whole month of September, and he was right there. I think in 15 or 14 innings, he struck out 25, didn't walk a batter, and was 8 for 9 in save situations, something like that. And he just picked up right where he left off last year and is, one of the best at, again, one of the most difficult jobs in pro sports. So Cade, the fun thing about Cade Smith is when, you know, you see stories written about him, and they talk to other players, and they really talk about the incredible sense of discipline that he has, the way he gets after it in the weight room. The 4 days in between, we all learned, you know, Shane Bieber and Corey Kluber, who was nicknamed Klubot because of his regimen and his discipline. He hated that nickname, by the way. Cade Smith's the same kind of guy. They just said they marvel at his work ethic, and he's picked up a new pitch and makes him a premier guy in a premier position.
That being said, given the July 31st trade deadline and how well this pitching staff is performing, do you expect any moves with the pitching staff at all? Any surprises out there?
Yeah, that's a good question. I really don't know, because we don't have quite the depth we've had in the minor leagues as we've had in the past. You can always use more, obviously. Can you fortify your bullpen if you find an arm that all of a sudden becomes available to you at a price that makes sense to you? So, yeah, I think they're certainly obviously exploring all options, but I think we feel pretty comfortable if this is the group that we're going to, again, play the next 2.5 months with to win our division and get back to playing baseball in October. They feel pretty comfortable with what we have.
All right, we're going to continue our conversation with Bob DiBiasio when we come back on the Ohio News Network. You're listening to Ohio Sports Magazine.
Your favorite fan shows are available as a podcast. What a concept. And don't miss exclusive podcast content like Austin and Burn. Listen on your schedule from anywhere in the world. Available wherever you get your podcasts. Fritz marketed naming the show A Guy and His Butlers.
Oh, that is very touching.
But we thought Bishop and Friends had a better ring to it.
Weekday mornings at 9.
The Fan. Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Jay Fox.
And we're back with Bob DiBiasio from the Cleveland Guardians. The team defense just continues to be elite. Adding Patrick Bailey solidified that. And even with Jose Ramirez and Angel Martinez being injured, the defense remains solid. Bob, who stepped up amid those two injuries defensively?
I think Brian Rocchio has showed us that he can play the position on the ball diamond at shortstop and play it on a daily basis with the tremendous skill, athleticism. Once you get that guy in the middle of the diamond that can get it done, it just makes everything better. But Kyle Manzardo works hard every day at first base, and you can see his growth and development. Stephen Kwan, just, you know, despite having some struggles offensively here and there, although obviously he's turned it around a little bit lately, has never wavered at being a Gold Glove outfielder. One of the plays he made in the Miami series, throwing behind the runner at second base to get the guy before the runner was able to score, helped us in a one-run game. And, you know, we've mix and match. We finally, it looks as if Kwani and left, and now that Chase is healthy and back, he's our right fielder, and a little mix and match in center. The one thing we just work on, and you hear Stephen Vogt talk about it, is the way these guys work, you know, their pregame routine. It's not just an obligatory 10 fly balls during batting practice or something. They're out there working hard. These are young athletes who still have to continue to fight and work hard to stay as big league players, and they take their job seriously.
Now, the offense continues to be our Achilles heel. Austin Hedges batting .289, Chase DeLauder .278, Brian Rocchio .276, and then after that, it drops way off. Manager Stephen Vogt said that the team plays strategically, knowing that they may not score a lot of runs each game. Is there any plan to make adjustments to the lineup to improve the batting?
Well, the obvious answer is you get a healthy Jose Ramirez and throw him right in the middle of your lineup, you're automatically a better team. We believe Angel Martinez, who still leads the team in home runs, I believe, and he's been out for a while, add him back into the mix with Chase staying back healthy and Cahill Watson showing that why he was a number one draft pick of the Miami Marlins a number of years ago. Travis Bazzani getting his foundation under himself. Everybody wants us and thinks we need to go out and make these trades. There's some who believe that adding a Jose Ramirez and Angel Martinez is not enough. But again, it's all about what's the chess game that you're going to play. What are you going to give up? Who are you going to get in return? What position does that person play that is going to hamper the development of young athletes that we really believe in?
Well, and
that's our strategy. I'm sorry, but that was our strategy this past offseason. It's gotten us to 51 wins and in first place in our division here, and I think we feel good about our guys.
I also think that keeping Stephen Kwan in left field takes some pressure off of him because he's not naturally a center fielder. And also putting him in the ninth slot in the lineup, that takes pressure off of him as well. And he's responding well.
Yeah, he is. There's no question. The move to center field was he came to us in spring training. He said, if this helps us rotate players in to gain a little bit more offensive traction, you know, I'll move to center field, because he was a center fielder in college. He's mixed between center and left. And when he came to the big leagues in AAA, we kept him in center, or kept him in left field, but he's got the ability to play center field, and that wouldn't affect his ability to put the ball in play. There's some variables about offensive strategy. You know, pitchers know where a guy is lethal at the plate, and for Stephen Kwan, it's middle in, middle down. Do you think he gets any pitches there anymore?
No.
So, you know, they're pitching him up and away. And, he, you know, when he goes after those pitches, a lot of times it's you're a millisecond late and you pop it up to left field. Lately, he's been driving the ball, line drives, instead of trying to pull and maybe try to hit a little bit too much power. But he's started, it feels like that he started to find that Stephen Kwan stroke where he just is hitting line drives all over the place, down the left field line, you know, pulling
and he also knows how to draw a walk, too. And getting him on base is the key, because every time we have runners on base, they move.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And that's the only way we're going to score. You know, again, that's why we're 8-for-8 and stolen bases this weekend. I think we're third or fourth most stolen bases in Major League Baseball right now.
Yeah, it's an elite stat.
Yeah, so that's where, you know, we run, we put the ball in play, we get a chance, we hit the long ball. But again, the Yankees have struggled even with their incredible payroll because, you know, in the middle of their lineup, the best player in the American League, and you could argue whether he or Shohei are the best players in baseball, and Aaron Judge, yeah.
Yep.
And it affects their offense. Well, for a team like ours, Jose Ramirez isn't sitting there in the middle of the lineup every day, and the other team doesn't have to worry about that guy. It's been pretty cool to watch how our guys have stepped up and just continued to play a good brand of baseball. Again, we need to pitch it, catch it, and get those hits with runners in scoring position.
All right. We want to thank Bob DiBiasio from the Cleveland Guardians for being our guest today. There's more Ohio Sports Magazine on the other side of the diamond when we come back to the Ohio News Network.
Hello, it's John Kozik, founder and president of TurboTrack Realty, and I buy real estate as is fast for cash. Give us a call today for an all-cash offer at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000. I buy vacant properties, inherited homes, divorce situations, death in the family, apartment buildings, commercial properties. I even buy my tenants won't pay me the rent houses. Give us a call today for an all-cash offer at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
Proper tree care is an investment that can lead to substantial returns and increased personal enjoyment. Hiring a certified arborist can help care for your trees and add considerable value to your property. Inspections by Ohio ISA certified arborists can often find and mitigate tree defects before they fail. Only professionals with specialized knowledge and training are properly equipped to provide appropriate care. To find an arborist, visit trees4ohio.org. That's trees4ohio.org.
Now is a great time to schedule a back-to-school dental appointment. Dr. Kyle Bogan, president of the Ohio Dental Association, is here to tell us more.
Your child's teeth and gums need the right food, nutrition, and vitamins to grow strong and stay healthy. Help them maintain good oral health by brushing every morning and night, flossing, visiting the dentist twice a year, and developing good eating habits. As kids head back to school, it's important to know that foods and drinks high in sugar, acidity, and other cavity-promoting substances are often low in nutritional value and have the potential to create plaque capable of damaging tooth enamel. A back-to-school dental appointment can diagnose any potential problems and improve your child's oral health. Ohio Dental Association member dentists are located throughout the state, are dedicated to providing the highest quality dental care, are bound by the highest ethical standards, and obtain superior ongoing education and training. Ask if your dentist is a member of the Ohio Dental Association so you know you're being treated by the very best. To find an ODA dentist in your area, visit oda.org.
It's a busy intersection in your neighborhood. Drivers, cyclists, and pedestrians all moving with their own destinations in mind. Think of the roadway like an ecosystem. Every move affects someone else. And whether you're behind the wheel, on two wheels, or on foot, the road is full of signs, signals, and people telling you what's ahead. When we anticipate what's happening around us, when we're predictable, when we share the space, everything is safer. There's space for all of us. Read the road, Ohio. Brought to you by the Ohio Department of Transportation.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Jay Fox.
A potential third return for LeBron James to the Cleveland Cavaliers offers the ultimate storybook ending to his career, allowing him to play alongside core stars like Donovan Mitchell, Evan Mobley, and James Harden. However, the move is complicated by a significant financial constraint and potentially immense pressure. Tyler Danberg from our flagship station, 97.1 FM WBNS in Columbus, Ohio, joins us to debate with me the pros and the cons. So we're both from Cleveland, but you are a couple of days younger than I am. So do you want to take the pros or the cons?
Well, good morning, Jay. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. I'll take the pros.
All right. You got one. We'll match you one for one. Go.
Cleveland economy. When LeBron James came back in 2014, the economy in Cleveland generated an estimated $200 to $500 million in revenue. Local restaurants and local businesses skyrocketed. Their business sales went up by about 13 to 15%. LeBron's return not only marks a deep positive impact on the floor, but off it as well.
You've been talking to Mayor Justin Bibb, haven't you?
All right, here's
the other side of it. The financial limitations for the team. If you fit a maximum level player, it is nearly impossible to fit that player under the current collective bargaining agreement. Cleveland can only offer between a $3.9 million veteran minimum and a $6.1 million tax mid-level exception. Will somebody with a dossier of Mr. James be willing to accept such a salary cut?
Well, if you go back a couple weeks ago, Jay, there have been some reports from LeBron's camp where this is going to be a happiness-led decision. He's been vocal. Back in May, he mentioned that two key factors in this decision, his wife Savannah, also from Akron, and his daughter Zuri, who's entering middle school and high school and getting older. I also think because of those financial constraints that you beautifully laid out, that's also going to put a little pressure on Kobe Altman, Cavaliers general manager, to make a couple moves, because you can alleviate some of that financial distress by letting go of some of these players. And I do think the ripple effect of LeBron coming back to Cleveland for a third time is probably going to result in a couple pieces getting traded. And maybe that could allow for some draft capital to come back for the Cavaliers, because we all know that they're looking for some more of those draft capital after some of the picks they've given away to get players over the last few years.
And let's talk about the roster and the rotational chemistry, since you brought it up. Is it worth saying goodbye to a Dean Wade, a Max Strus, perhaps even a Jared Allen? And what will Kenny Atkinson do? He would have the monumental task of restructuring the rotation to mesh the superstar with the established veterans. So you go from being a youth-driven team to a veteran-driven team very quickly, and that puts immense pressure on LeBron James.
It does, and it puts a lot of pressure on Kenny Atkinson as well. The Cavaliers, over these last few years in the post-LeBron era and their success, they've tried everything, and they've gotten close. They've gotten to as close as the Eastern Conference Finals, but haven't gotten to the pinnacle yet. LeBron, I think, is the key piece that they're missing. Now, the best part about this, and I know there are a lot of concerns, well, you've got a lot of mouths to feed: LeBron James, Donovan Mitchell, James Harden, and beyond. But again, in this era, LeBron doesn't need to play 48 minutes a ball game. LeBron, with his age and his body, even though he's still one of the most fit players in the league, should not be playing 48 minutes a game. I think coming to a team like the Cavaliers compared to some other teams, he doesn't have to face a lot of pressure to play over 30 minutes a game. He can still be as effective. And when he's not out on the floor, Kenny Atkinson can still scheme similar to what he'd done in recent years.
Now, that being said, and I'm not disagreeing with his ability to continue to play the game, and I also agree with you about limiting his minutes, but here's what I'm concerned about, Tyler. I'm concerned about the Atlantic Division specifically. You've got Boston, you've got Philadelphia, you've got the New York Knicks, and the Toronto Raptors, who are all incredibly tough. The question is, even with James, would Cleveland be able to compete against teams like that? Some analysts have said they worry that his addition creates what they call a championship or bust mandate, which could be an impossible standard for him. That's what I mean by pressure.
Not disagreeing with that. That's a really great point. And given what Toronto's just done to enter that mix of the names that you just mentioned by adding Kawhi Leonard, it just got incredibly tougher. Do you think, Jay, that if LeBron doesn't come, the Cavaliers are out of their options just given what's not available anymore on the market?
They would have to structure a multi-team blockbuster trade to land someone else. And the cost of what it would take to land a superstar of that caliber, in my opinion, is far more than we can afford. And I will tell you that for me, as a Clevelander, having grown up in Shaker Heights and having interviewed LeBron at the very beginning of his career, I personally would like to see that storybook legacy and have him end his career where it began.
I agree with you 100%. I think it's time where Cleveland is the one chosen by the chosen one, one final time.
Now, the question is, will he make that choice? There are a couple of other folks in the mix. Even though Golden State seems to have removed themselves, the Philadelphia 76ers are still arguably the best competition. And quite frankly, if he goes to Philadelphia, it's lights out.
I think Philadelphia is probably the best fit outside of Cleveland. I think Miami could be interesting for him to return. But again, that's a loaded front court with him and Giannis Antetokounmpo, two contrasting styles. The Warriors, he's got familiarity in the Olympics, playing for Steve Kerr, playing with Steph Curry, playing with Draymond Green and beyond. But again, it's a similar financial situation where I think his total contract would have to result in about a $48, $49 million pay cut. The Timberwolves are also interesting because they do have a big opening in the middle of their lineup after they traded away Naz Reid and the return for LaMelo Ball. They'll be playing with Rudy Gobert. There are a lot of interesting scenarios, but I think those are some of the teams that are at play outside of Cleveland for LeBron.
Well, we are going to have to be patient and wait because the announcement will not happen anytime soon. I want to thank Tyler Danberg for being with us. There's more Ohio Sports Magazine on the other side of the court when we come back to the Ohio News Network.
Rothman and Ice.
How many men signed the Declaration of Independence?
Five.
I'll go six.
I mean, if you add 50, you're correct. It's 56.
Really?
Rothman and Ice. Weekdays at noon.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus.
The Fan.
Join the
Fan Weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
It's your 97.1 The Fan Weather Forecast. I'm 10 Weather Impact Chief Meteorologist Chris Tomer. A lot of sunshine, a dry day on Sunday, just light smoke concentrations and high temperatures in the middle 80s. That is your 97.1 The Fan Weather Forecast. I'm 10 Weather Impact Chief Meteorologist Chris Tomer.
This is ONN.
Expansion has become a way of life in college football. There's a December 1st date for the playoffs to expand past 12 teams for the 2027 season. Conferences are also expanding, teams and footprints. Northern Illinois left the Mid-American Conference to join the Mountain West on July 1st. The Mid-American Conference added Sacramento State, yes, in California, for the 2026 football season. Over the last 20 years, the Big Ten has expanded to include 18 teams and could keep adding the closer we get to 2030. Doug A. Maurice has covered Ohio State and Big Ten football for more than 20 years. He joined Bo Bishop earlier this week on ONN affiliate WBNS FM in Columbus. Doug thinks the Big Ten and the Southeastern Conference could hold off on adding in the coming years.
The SEC and the Big Ten are in pretty good spots right now. Like, are we sure, right? Because every time you expand, you have to make sure that the overall piece for everybody doesn't get smaller.
Yep.
So at what point is it like, do we really want to be a 22-team conference? Like, I don't know.
I think
know.
The SEC is already there, Doug. I don't think the SEC wants to do anything. I think they're good. I don't think that there's anybody out there that they would add or that they feel like they have to add. I think the Big Ten would want to get into that part of the country, though.
Yeah, I guess. It felt like there was an imperative with expansion previously, right? Especially from a Big Ten perspective. You don't just want to be in the Midwest. Demographic shifts and all that kind of stuff. But now you're on the East Coast, you're on the West Coast. I get wanting to be in the South and wanting to be in Florida and Texas, but also it doesn't feel like they need to do it or they're going to die, right?
No.
Which there was a time where it felt like, I don't know if in the modern world, staying in the Midwestern footprint is enough. You know, you got LA and you got, mm-hmm. you got New York, baby. Thanks, Rutgers. I'm curious how that will expand. Doesn't it feel more like those schools now pitching themselves to the conferences
yes.
rather than the conferences being on the hunt for like, we're going to track you down and pull you in whether you want to come or not, because we're going to offer you something that you can't turn down. It's more like those schools being like, hey, you know, take a look at us.
Florida State thinks they're coming in 2028. People down there believe that. I don't believe that, but I think that's what is believed down there. I did want to ask you about some of the stuff that's come out at Michigan with Ward Manuel. Use this line from The Wire if you've seen that series. Lester Freeman had a great line. You go after drugs, you get drugs, drugs dealers. You go after the money, you don't know what the heck you're going to get. That's kind of how I feel about college athletics. Like, if you start going after football, the cover-up is just insurmountable almost. I mean, this went all the way up to the president with the Spygate yeah. stuff, and then the Sharon Moore stuff. It's just amazing that they thought that the cover-up with that was worth all of this, or he was worth the cover-up. What did you just right. make of everything that has happened up there over the last 5 to 7 years?
So it's hard, like on one level, haven't people, like as we think about the North and the Big Ten trying to compete with the SEC and the South, isn't it like, you know what, maybe you should cheat a little bit and keep your mouth shut, right?
Yeah.
Haven't people wanted that? Like, they do it, they cheat, and they don't turn themselves in at the first sign of an infraction. Like, just do what you got to do to win and mm-hmm. shut your mouth. And so there's some of that Michigan's doing that, you know, I think you have to decide if you want to live in that world or not. Right now, again, a lot of the stuff that makes people mad is the hypocrisy of it, that if you're holding yourself up as a Michigan man, Michigan's above all this, and then you're doing that, well, then don't do that. Then the hypocrisy is annoying. But if it's like, we're going to do whatever it takes to win, and that includes lying to the NCAA, it's like, okay, I don't know, kind of worked for the South for 30 years. The thing that's the strangest to me is if they knew about the Sharon Moore affair and all that kind of stuff, and they were like, Jim Harbaugh's leaving for the NFL, that's our guy. Like, that part of it is like, what are you doing?
Yes.
Like you said, there's part of this that it's like, if you did what you had to do with whatever, with Harbaugh, but it's like, we're going down with Sharon Moore. It's like, that is not, that steak is not worth the sizzle, baby. Like, you went down for Sharon Moore? Are you kidding me? You could have hired anybody in America to come take over for Jim Harbaugh. That's insane to me. And if that's the decision of the president and the AD to know about what he was doing in his personal life, and then saying he's the new leader of the program, that's unforgivable. I have no idea. That's insane leadership to me. So that's the craziest part of it. Yes? Yeah.
Yes, of course.
We'll be back with more Ohio Sports Magazine next on the Ohio News Network.
Have you ever met a man who wins money betting on tennis? Enter Scotty Vegas. Join Scotty and Dave Biddle for On the Money.
Presented by Ohio for Responsible Gambling.
Sunday mornings at 9 on The Fan.
From the Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Right Way Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
This is ONN.
Well, this week we get a chance to talk with Jeff Carr, one of the hosts of the Locked On Reds podcast. And if you haven't checked it out, shame on you. You need to. And in full disclosure, we are doing this prior to the All-Star game having been played. But Jeff, just kind of your thoughts about Chase Burns and Sal Stewart being selected by the Reds to represent the National League.
Absolutely well-deserving. They've both had fantastic seasons. And I really feel like Sal Stewart's one of those guys that, at least early on in his career, If you look at his wins above replacement, or if you look at his batting average and you think you know who he is, then you're missing a whole lot. You might be missing like 80% of the picture on this guy, because he is absolutely a guy that the Reds can build around. And Chase Burns, I mean, it's hard to argue with Hunter Green's last start, but as far as durability goes, Chase Burns might be the Reds' ace.
I would agree with you.
I mean, he's been phenomenal.
He certainly has. And in both of these cases, Jeff, do you feel like they've done a good job of adjusting to, and especially since they played last year as well, adjusting to how the other teams have already adjusted to them?
Yeah, I think so, especially with Sal Stewart in particular, because we saw that kind of swoon. You know, his batting average was nice and high for a little bit there at the beginning of the season, and he went through a couple of slumps, but even during his slumps, he was doing a good job of getting on base. He was doing a good job of keeping the lineup moving and still getting RBIs here or there. I don't think it's a stretch to say he's going to finish the season with the most homers and the most RBIs on the team because of where he is right now, but I firmly expect it to continue. It's not something that we're going to see disappear. And Chase Burns on the other side too, like, he's definitely hitting a point in the year where, you know, the dreaded load management's going to be a thing. But I think even through that period of time, we're going to be able to trust him for the rest of this year and honestly the rest of his career.
Jeff, when you look at what Ellie De La Cruz has done in the first half of the season, where do you see his biggest growth?
I think that it's just going to be how that injury, really how the hamstring injury really affects his speed the rest of the way. I mean, we saw him running the bases really well in the Cubs series, and I think that he's fully healthy and ready to go. I wonder if the hamstring injury was a little bit of a byproduct from the, you know, the quad injury he suffered last year. Maybe there was some residual, you know, soreness and things like that that he was trying to push through, and it all just came to a head. And now he looks like he's truly healthy and ready to go. We've really seen him take a step forward in a couple of areas that you would have marked in February as, you know what, Ellie needs to fix this. I mean, he's hitting the ball even better from the right-hand side of the plate than the left-hand side of the plate this year, which shows that his versatility is just, it's an actual thing that you can count on, where we've seen switch hitters in the past that we were like, yeah, probably just needs to be a lefty, right? Not at all with Ellie De La Cruz. And I think that moving forward, if he just shows that kind of consistency, then we will be talking about the top 10 player in the major leagues that we thought we had.
Agreed. Jeff, let's pick at a few things. Runners in scoring position. Is that one of the biggest glaring areas of concern?
It is. And to be honest with you, Paul, I don't know that it's a specific strategic mindset. I know that that's been bandied about as a huge blame with this team. I think that ultimately your team's ability to score with runners in scoring position is just a reflection on the quality of lineup that you have. And the Reds have a lot of guys who have potential and a lot of guys who have tools that aren't translating to production and skills. And we haven't quite seen that come to fruition in all situations. And I think that it only is accentuated by the fact whenever you got a guy standing on second or third, it just seems like they cannot make the contact that they need. And I've seen people argue, well, they need to worry about moving runners along and doing this sort of thing. They just need to make contact. They have more strikeouts with runners in scoring position than any other team. Mm-hmm. And that's really where it comes down to. Like, if you're going to swing and miss, or as we've seen plenty of times, if you just leave your bat on your shoulder and you watch strike three go by, then it doesn't matter what the strategy was going into it. You just failed.
Bullpen still an easy target?
Yeah, I think so, and I'm still flabbergasted that the Reds are planning on Graham Ashcraft returning. I'm hopeful to see that, because I think he has been one of the biggest injuries, if not the biggest injury of the year. I think that Hunter Green probably takes the cake on that, but losing Graham Ashcraft for as long as they did just absolutely decimated this bullpen. And whether or not people are ready to recognize that or not, like, he was the fireman. If there was a bad moment in the sixth or the seventh inning, Terry Francona was going to Graham Ashcraft, and Graham Ashcraft more often than not was getting them out of that situation, especially this year. And then whenever he hit the IL, it just decimated the bullpen, and nobody has stepped up into that role. So to say nothing of the fact that Emilio Pagan has missed time, and Emilio Pagan is probably like a middle of the road closer anyway. Yeah, you could say that closer is the biggest need for the bullpen, but they lost their heart and soul whenever Ashcraft hit the IL.
Jeff Carr from the Locked On Reds podcast. Thanks as always for your insight, Jeff.
Thanks, Paul. Go Reds.
We'll be back with more Ohio Sports Magazine next on the Ohio News Network.
Hello, it's John Kozik, founder and president of TurboTrack Realty, and I buy real estate as is fast for cash. Give us a call today for an all-cash offer at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000. I buy vacant properties, inherited homes, divorce situations, death in the family, apartment buildings, commercial properties. I even buy my tenants won't pay me the rent houses. Give us a call today for an all-cash offer at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000.
Getting a speeding ticket can ruin your day. But what about that cyclist or the pedestrian crossing the street? If you hit them while speeding, you'll do more than just ruin their days. That's why tickets are more than just a fine. They're a second chance, a reminder of what's on the line when you're behind the wheel. You won't get a do-over every time. So take this as your sign to follow the speed limit every drive. Speeding slows you down. Paid for by NHTSA.
At Perkins Local Schools, we wanted to improve our literacy outcomes for our students. The union worked collaboratively with our administration to come up with a solution-driven process to help our students become better readers. We have been able to provide more resources for our teachers and empower our educators to use the best teaching practices to get the best outcomes for our students. My name is Pamela Schertz, and I am a proud member of the Perkins Education Association because strong unions make strong public schools for our students.
The ONN Daily Podcast. Get a recap of all the day's news from across the state.
ONN affiliate WBNS-TV reports.
Haley Kirby reporting in downtown Toledo.
From the State House, Kevin Landers.
ONN Canton.
ONN affiliate WKYC-TV in Cleveland explains.
In Marietta, Brett Wharf, ONN News.
Emma Henderson in Genoa.
The ONN Daily Podcast. Listen at onnradio.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts from the Ohio News Network.
Now is a great time to schedule a back-to-school dental appointment. Dr. Kyle Bogan, president of the Ohio Dental Association, is here to tell us more.
Your child's teeth and gums need the right food, nutrition, and vitamins to grow strong and stay healthy. Help them maintain good oral health by brushing every morning and night, flossing, visiting the dentist twice a year, and developing good eating habits. As kids head back to school, it's important to know that foods and drinks high in sugar, acidity, and other cavity-promoting substances are often low in nutritional value and have the potential to create plaque capable of damaging tooth enamel. A back-to-school dental appointment can diagnose any potential problems and improve your child's oral health. Ohio Dental Association member dentists are located throughout the state, are dedicated to providing the highest quality dental care, are bound by the highest ethical standards, and obtain superior ongoing education and training. Ask if your dentist is a member of the Ohio Dental Association so you know you're being treated by the very best. To find an ODA dentist in your area, visit oda.org.
The fan, Ohio sports destination. Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Jay Fox.
Now, let's get some highlights from the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show. Here's producer Jacob Reimer to set the scene.
Thanks, Jay. This week on the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show, the guys discuss the Cavaliers and why they believe adding LeBron James next to Donovan Mitchell and James Harden can bring them together and make it work.
I think they're motivated to make it work. If you have superstar NBA players as talented as them and they want something to happen, it will happen. If they are fighting against it, it will not happen. It's really as simple as that. You've got, when you talk about James, Donovan, and LeBron, those are three high IQ basketball veterans who understand the game at a level like few others do. So they will figure it out. I'm not saying they'll figure it out by November 15th. They'll figure it out by April. So it's not an ideal fit. It's terrible defensively, like horrendous defensively. But you do have Evan and Jarrett on this team, so there is some backline support there. So really, why do you trust them to make the fit work? Because they're veterans and they're motivated to make it work. It's really, there's no best, I can't give you a basketball X and O answer, just the motivation behind it.
To catch the full breakdown, just search the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show on YouTube, subscribe to their page, and enjoy daily content covering all things Cleveland sports. We'll be back to wrap this week's Ohio Sports Magazine when we continue on the Ohio News Network.
Join our resident gambling degenerates, Dave Biddle and Scotty Vegas, for On the Money, Sunday mornings at 9.
Presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
The Fan.
Tess marketed naming the show A Guy and His Butlers.
Oh, that is very touching.
But we thought Bishop and Friends had a better ring to it.
Weekday mornings at 9.
The Fan. Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Jay Fox.
We want to thank Tyler Danberg and Bob DiBiasio for being our guests on this week's Ohio Sports Magazine, and we thank you for listening. For Jacob Reimer, Eric Reeser, and Paul Keels, I'm Jay Fox. Thanks for listening to Ohio Sports Magazine, and join us next week right here on the Ohio News Network.